Welcome to Down to Brass Talks. This is the Thursday edition, October 4th, 2018. I'm Lisa Gale, and I'll be with you until 1:30 p.m. The number to call, 434-1790, WhatsApp, 266-4862. Our producer is Mr. Dennis Johnson. We look forward to your calls, your WhatsApps, hearing your perspectives. There are a number of issues on the table, and if we were just to look at today's paper, several news houses have zoomed in on one particular issue which I would like to talk about today, and that is, if we look at what Mr., or let me call him by his correct title, Deputy Commissioner Irwin Boyce, of Deputy Commissioner of the Royal Barbados Police Force, he talked about persons speaking up and talking to the police, sharing any particular information that you may have as it relates to guns or any illicit activity. We also registered a shooting over the weekend. I'm sure that some persons have gone back to normalcy, but there's a neighborhood and surrounding neighborhoods that talk about the fear that they are living as residents. We have a challenge in a very small society about, you know, fear of reprisal. We have people who believe that the Royal Barbados Police Force is not as discreet as it should be in sharing particular intelligence, i.e., if there's a dispute and a person calls and the neighbor goes over and says, I'm having some difficulty, whether it is loud music or something. Unfortunately, there have been several reports where they say the police come and they tell the person, well, the neighbor called to say that you are bothering them, please stop. Which is not the most, it's not the best way of dealing with it, but that has been one of the allegations. I'm sure there are persons within the force who can argue that training dictates that you manage a situation in a much more discreet manner. But as a result of that, there are people who don't want to be called a snitch. There are persons who don't want to be deemed as an informer. And unfortunately, with such a small society, those challenges will continue to exist. And if we just turn a couple pages after that, we look in our very own Caribbean country, Jamaica, where they are asking for, and there was a unanimous vote by Parliament, I must say, for another state of emergency, another 3 months, because of the constant gang violence, etc. And my heart is pretty heavy because just a little further down, we hear Mr. Cannon Burke, who is he's the chairman of the Christian Council of Barbados. And he's calling for parents to talk to their children, see what they're doing, see what their friends are doing, and start to curb some of the behavior. And I thought that was a useful call. It's not necessarily a reaction, but I would like to echo his call for parents to play a greater role in assisting their children with handling challenges, because oftentimes if these challenges are not dealt with at an early age, then we then see the expression, whether it is at primary or secondary school, where there's child-on-child conflict and there's not that necessarily a good resolution. And then we have it going into family life, whether it manifests itself in domestic violence, gang violence, or whatever. Our children will be the leaders in a very few years. And if we don't invest, we talked a lot yesterday about the investments and the challenges as a result of an investment that hasn't gone the way how the investors expected. But there's another type of investment in human capital, not just paying free education, but paying attention to our wards and our children. And I want to stop there. I know I will have different calls. I want to hear your perspectives, but my heart is heavy today. I hope that we are playing our part as parents, playing our part as teachers, playing our part as community representatives, and playing our part wherever so ever we have a chance to impact positively. That is my call today. This is Down to Brass Tacks. First call, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't really call about this gun thing, right? But we have been talking for years. right? I think the time has come to stop the talk and take some serious action. If not, it's going to get worse. I think the time has come to declare a state emergency and let go of the BDF and these hot spot areas. You can't keep on talking. It bothers me just that you can't go nowhere now and relax. The folk having to look over your shoulder.
I don't think that's where we are, and I didn't say that.
Listen. You tend to us to be like that cricket ground, especially what happened that Sunday.
So when you order the state of emergency, what exactly are you expecting?
You know, you see this conversation? I can best stick to my original plan, you know. Whenever you try, you know, to do something about something, you're being asked, how long have you been talking about this?
Sir, huh? my question to you is, when we order the state of emergency, what are the... You know, what are you expecting to come out of it? You're saying that is your recommendation.
You want me to be left at the mercy of a couple of hooligans? I don't see so. People who work hard to build this country and because of lawlessness can't get away before. You heard the lady who spoke about her child? She don't want him going to cricket anymore unless a child who loves cricket. What are you doing with that child's life? You are finishing it.
Unless he goes to cricket in a different district.
So who said we get there too? This thing's like a cancer.
So if we break down your recommendation, looking at making or a state of emergency, are you doing it per parish, per district, per constituent?
I don't care how to do it. And these people, it's like, you know, I just can't help but mention this man's name, you know. I heard Bob Marley standing interview that laws discourse crime and violence. At the time, I was very, very young. I said, this man is a madman. You know what? I see evidence of it every day. I read the papers and I see murderers getting bail, rapists getting bail, and man getting locked up for chocolate. I see people, I read the paper, people who are already on bail for committing a serious offense, doing the same thing all over again and getting bail again. Huh? I read it in the paper.
There are implications for the state of emergency. You know, there are some significant implications for a state of emergency and a country like Barbados that depends so significantly on tourism, etc. Like Jamaica, feeling the brunt in some of these places, they are big enough, sufficiently big enough that where tourists normally populate. Is not necessarily where the state of emergency is. So while that solution may work for some countries, one of the things I said from very early was that in such a small population and a small destination like Barbados, that can pose a significant challenge.
Okay, then. All right. Okay. Let's say I'm going to agree with you. Okay, I'm going to pose a challenge. So therefore, next time to have this shooting, I would appreciate it very much if you don't come with voice or concern. Because, as I said, we've been talking.
You appreciate if I don't voice my concern. How about you not voicing yours?
Huh?
How about you not voicing yours?
You see, we want, if you boil an egg, let's say, for 5 minutes, and it didn't get to the hardness you want, would you boil it now for 3 and expect it to get to the firmness that you want? I would think you would go now to... at least 6 or 7. That's just a foolish reference. I'm too smart.
But I find that you seem to be a little affected by me asking you about your recommendation to break it down so that we look at the recommendation.
I already give the recommendation. Let go of the clear state emergency.
Right. So I thank you for your recommendation, but I was asking you further. I was engaging you deliberately to look at the implications, the pros and the cons for your recommendation, but clearly you don't want that.
You want to hear something? To achieve goals, right? Sacrifices must be made. You understand? And you know
that's not a dispute. I fully agree with that.
Can I speak, please?
You are speaking.
Before interruption, I am not against being challenged, right? But you know, as they
that's not a challenge. Right? Unfortunately, you don't seem to want to converse with me.
Every time you talk, I am 66 years old. I don't have the kind of memory retainment that I would have had when I was 26. And I'm not ashamed to say that.
I'm 41.
But as you grow older, it's not only your hair that grows old. Every time your body slow down, you got some of us don't want to accept it. I am one who accept it. I am one who expect to die someday. I'm here forever. So every time you interrupt me, I am forgetting what I have to say.
I'm having a conversation with you and I'm not interrupting you.
Here we go again.
If you think it's interruption, I'm really sorry.
If you notice when you're speaking, I don't interrupt. Huh? Because I am begging you, give me the same little courtesy. Give this old man that kind of courtesy. At least respect my age. At least respect that. I'm saying you're being disrespectful. The sacrifices, we are going to be the human sacrifice. And I'm not thinking about me. I am my way out. I'm thinking about persons like that little child, my grandson, my granddaughter, your little nephew or whoever, in the future. And if this is a law to continue, they are not going to have much of the future. We have to stop the talk. As I was telling Dennis one day on a funding program, and he agreed, every child that you're getting that hit, and it's not getting that hit, they're going to keep on testing you and testing you and testing you. So we got to do, you got to bolt the door. Please stop with it. It means some harsh to some people, but it got to another level. We just can't. We always talk about tourists. We don't talk about locals. You mentioned the tourists. What about us? The tourists can, whether they have gameplay or not, because Barbados is a high-priced destination, can always change your mind and go somewhere. We have to look hard after the people first. I want to touch briefly on what I have called to say. Government, I know that I have inherited a very, very nasty economic picture. Yeah, before you start penalizing innocent people who already paid the bills, go after the people in Barbados who collectively owe millions upon millions of dollars to government and will not pay. You have to go after them too. You got poor people who pay the bills. You got people who live in some big society and poor man don't live in a kind of community that refuse to pay the bills. They have some people from Water Authority 2 years back on the people's business on CBC, the top people from the Water Authority, I question them. I ask them how come they don't turn off the hotels that collectively owe Water Authority millions. You know what the response is? It will affect the tourist industry. Yes, I agree with that, but what the poor man that missed one payment, that he's going to hurry to turn off his father, it don't affect his family too. You have to send a message, you've got to start turning off for these people to start to pay. I stop finding excuses, doggone them things. Everything that happened in Barbados is an excuse. Everything. Have a nice day, Lisa.
Have a wonderful day. This is Dr. Brastad.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Ms. Gill. Listen, I guess, just listen to my language properly, right? Mm-hmm. I have a question here. Are you of the view that, because I just heard the ad where the government says by October 5th, is when you have to submit your offer letter in relation to these instruments, right?
Yes.
What do you understand by submit offer letter? This is the holders of the instruments having to submit to government what they intend to do.
To do, yes. Yes or no. Yes or no. Yes.
All right, good, fine.
That's what I understand.
So that has to be submitted. But then I hear something about extension. What do you understand that to mean?
I didn't hear the extension part. I heard peace, but I didn't hear the whole thing.
All right. So you can't really speak on that. All right.
So, if there is an extension, it means that the October 5th date might have been extended, although they're bringing your attention to October 5th. But I'll get my
right.
Producer
so, like,
to,
you heard October
to correct
5th,
me.
But you're not really clear as it relates to what the extension.
No, what I'm telling you is that I didn't listen to the full ad. So I heard October 5th. So what I will do, I'll listen to it so that I can then comment on it.
All right, that's fair. After this copy, I will pick up another one with you quickly.
No
so,
problem.
It is my view, and correct me if you feel I'm wrong, and I'm happy to be guided here. isn't the central bank or the government by extension possibly exposing itself to litigation on this particular matter at large? And let me say why. If I enter into an arrangement with you and I parted with $300,000 in instruments with you, say, 7 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we facing what we facing, you came back to me and say, well, this has been no arrangement. And you say to me, this is what I'm offering you. You can't touch that money until the next 15 years, but you will get interest, but at a vastly reduced rate compared to what I agree with you on 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not possible, given that you've changed this arrangement, that you're exposing yourself to legal matters as it relates to all these holders of instruments?
I think you can, yeah, of course. But the one of the things within the fine print is that within these type of investments, you know, the market can change. So a lot of things are contingent on market conditions remaining static or remaining similar. So that in investment, you always consider that something can happen, because this is a first time scenario where a government has never defaulted.
Right. So you enter any investment, anything, whether it be Piglex, whether it be financial instruments, you enter any arrangement with the understanding that is a risk versus reward arrangement.
In investment, yes. But to add to that, given that the person, I'll tell you this, the persons who entered into the purchasing of the government bonds, because there has never been historically a change, or, you know, what we're experiencing now, because there's never been a default, there has not been that expectation, or there was that smooth, you know, like how in 2007 when the market crashed, a lot of people had never defaulted, personal debt, they never had any mortgage challenges, etc. But because the market crashed, everything just went awry. And in this scenario, myself included, persons who have bought instruments for different types, they never would have thought that this would have happened.
All right, good. I was just going to follow up by asking you if you know anyone personally that have any of these instruments, because
I'm affected by it. I have instruments.
That's here. Right. So these instruments, obviously, people with savings bonds wouldn't have the concern of the people with, obviously, the debentures and the others. So my thing is, I just wonder if the language stated that, as you earlier said, the market conditions can change, which means the interest rate can move one way or the other.
I just want to go back to your first query on the ad. The forum to advise bondholders was supposed to end last Friday, but that has been extended to today allow for tomorrow's final extension. So hope that is corrected there with you.
Yeah, that's clear. It's clear. I got that.
Okay.
So, right. So, Katam Naga, in a nutshell, I was just wondering if the government is now exposed to litigation on the matter, because while I agree that, you know, investment is, you know, is you're taking a risk in any situation, so you got to go in understanding that reality. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if the language that is written into these contracts, these arrangements, was such that you, like anything, things are subject to change, but I just wonder if the language was so specific that one of the things you cannot do is just, for lack of
change
a better word, out the blue,
or
just
change the contract.
Because bear in mind, I don't mean to minimize money here, but this is not $3,000 or $30,000 in some instances. In some instances, this is $500,000+ you're telling a guy 67 years old he can't now have access to. And I know, thanks to being on, since this came up, there'd be so many different scenarios that you would have known outside the studio and on ear. So, you know, there are situations where a guy might have said, well, look, I have some commitments I made that require me to use $200,000 of my instruments over the next 2 years, but obviously that can't happen.
Yes.
But those commitments were made. And let's all move off. I got on to the next issue here. Now, I choose to call you on this particular matter. For what reason are you really going on, to be honest? Now, there's follow in the economy, obviously, and people can't access the things they want used to at will in some cases. And what's your thoughts on private primary schools in Barbados, or the private primary school model? Okay. It's something you favor, you understand, or you can't care less about it?
I understand it.
You seek a placement for it.
I see value in diversification of services.
I support you on that.
Okay.
So let me say this. Now, if I seem like I'm pushing the issue past, because I'm not good over the ERA, like I suspect a lot of people don't call because...
You're not good?
But when I say good, when you're on the air, when you're holding on, okay, and then you get on air, sometimes you can rush through issues because you don't want to...
Yes, or lose your train of thought.
That's all these things, exactly.
Yes.
It happens, and it's only understood by those who are calling.
That's right.
Your regular callers may be on top of it, but people like myself that are far and few between, it's still something that I would need to get on top of, and I would need to call more.
So you're nervous and your fingers are trembling and sweating. I understand.
So you know this. You've lived through this.
Bear in mind. Okay. Okay.
Right. So you get me, where mm-hmm. I'm coming from. Right.
Yes.
Now, the reason I picked this up is because I had a situation where a mate of mine has two of his kids in private school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling him, well, you know, if your situation is changing for you, maybe you might need to move towards the public school setting.
Yes.
He and his partner is not excited about the thought.
Okay.
So I brought a scenario to him where I said to him that, look, you went to a public school. You took what was offered to you in terms of the education system.
Yes.
You did well enough, and you moved on, and you've gone into a workplace, and you're excelling, not allowing you the opportunity to pay your way for your kids to go to private school.
Yes.
So it showed me that the public school model has worked for you. I do understand why some people will have a challenge in some cases because of classroom sizes and what's not. But I say to him, but remember your circumstances is now changed. So what about the other mate that we know who was struggling a few years ago when the economy was ticking along relatively okay, and he had some hurdles and he pulled his kids. One of them was able to go into Queen's College, and they're using all the secondary school by purpose. That's the reality, but I'm still going to use it anyway.
Okay.
And the other one had to be pulled early at class one and put into a public school and still ended up going Queen's College with his sister.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to develop on this any further?
Essentially, what you're saying is that whether you're...
I'm saying to him that why would you continue to be under the financial knife?
Mm-hmm.
Or stored, so to speak, then you know you can't really afford to continue. You could keep your child.
And you don't know the answer to that?
2 seconds. No. This is not about me knowing the answer. Huh? Remember, I told you this is my mate who's struggling.
Right, but there are societal pressures there.
Right. But listen, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I did not raise this, even though I know I could have. I asked myself if there are... Because remember, whenever I see a situation, I never... in isolation. How many other parents out there mm-hmm. know that they're struggling to meet these term commitments mm-hmm. because of societal pressure, because of office pressure, and a lot of these corporate environments where these people feel they need to meet an expectation
mm-hmm.
and they don't know want to pull their child out of a private school situation, put them
yes.
in a public school setting.
Mm-hmm.
If your child has ability and your parent is putting some application into that child's talent or ability, that is academic or other ways,
yes,
I would think that would be the model to go after, as opposed to string a whole string. And then, because these things are compounded, it's one thing to meet the current commitment, right, Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
But what comes along with this is,
of course,
now the private school is going on a field trip in St. Lucia. Your child can't go on that trip.
Yes.
So you're going to keep pushing the envelope financially that you really don't, you don't even have an envelope to push anymore.
But what I would tell you is that you have all of the answers for your mate, and it would be good if you sit down with him and say, buddy, can we have...
But remember, I told you just now, this was not only isolation.
I know it isn't in isolation, and I know that there are people in our ear space who are listening.
Exactly.
And you have just properly articulated something that continues to be a burden for us, for a lot of parents. But I introduced the variable of societal pressure deliberately, because oftentimes that is the compass. That is what is guiding people's decisions oftentimes. And unfortunately, that veil inhibits people from seeing all of what you just explained, which is very plausible, very rational, and very sensible. But because of that societal pressure, you have a friend who lives near you, then people gonna want to wonder, am I having financial problems? I took my son out of private school 3 years ago, but it wasn't because of finances. And I didn't bother about what people thought. My husband and I made a personal decision that our son needed a changed environment. And the decision was thus far, my son just came forth in class, bearing it all. But societal pressure, I was executive director of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and all that. I didn't think that what people thought mattered to me. It was a decision, a family decision. And unfortunately, there are a lot of persons who are unable to make decisions that are positive for them. They continue to go down a road that may be inimical to the child and to other things, to their pockets. And unfortunately, they find themselves in that. So I'm glad you raised that as Yes, sir.
Let me just end on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've been most gracious. You've allowed this experience to me over the phone. My hand is no longer sweating. I'm happy that we were able to touch base, because I know you will discuss many issues political and otherwise, right?
Okay.
But I'm happy that we can touch on this social issue of the political space, because a lot of calls are politically driven, obviously. But
I'm trying to reach out to your friend, though, I must say.
No, I'll do that. But I just want to end on telling you, mm-hmm. I'm glad that you and I were able to speak on this matter, because I'm sure that the people in your space, as you said, that will be able to have a little pause on some of these decisions being made.
Okie dokie.
I'm obliged to you.
Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Miss Gill. A couple of things here. Yesterday, the program yesterday was quite an interesting program. I listened for quite a while because I had an appointment in the afternoon.
Okay.
And what are you... Hello? Hello?
I'm very much here.
No, this mostly sometimes be playing fool. Yeah, but what are you... was listened to yesterday was quite interesting, like I said.
Yes.
The only problem that I had with that program, I don't know if it was a program that was developed in a hurry. I would appreciate it very much if you had another trained economist along with Dr. Clay Master, because listeners for most of the time of what Dr. Master was saying yesterday, he painted a very pretty picture of the future in Barbados, the policies of the Barbados Labour Party, of which I enjoy listening to, I might admit, but I might remind Dr. Clay Master and Professor Prasad and Dr. Grealish that a beautiful picture does not always come to the fact of reality. And I'll draw an example to you. There was a composer one time who composed a sonata, which is a piano solo.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful piece of music, 101, volume 101 by Frédéric Chopin. And at the stage, it was said that he was in a depressed state of mind. So, in other words, I will still have to wait and see this beautiful picture that Dr. Clay Marston, the members of Barbados Labour Party, is painting. I heard her talk a lot about investors are lining up to come to Barbados. Now, I remember just before elections, Dr. Carolyn had said to us one day where we are sort of address or sessions that we were having. As she said, there are two types of investors. There are ones who like the country and infrastructure, the telecommunications there, they will come. And they're not only investing, they have the people because they are attracted to the country and the way the government is running. And then there's the other kind of investor who, over the years, have built a strong bond with the FBI. Now, my question to you, which type of investors are we looking forward to?
For Barbados?
Yeah.
You mean you've identified the types of investors, or you mean what is it that Barbados has been...
Let me put it simple. What is it that Barbados have to offer that these investors would be lining up to come here?
We already have a very rich, positive list for which investors have always identified as... I mean, we talk about political stability, economic stability. We've had a number of attractive... elements, or we call positive lists, things that would draw people to come to your country.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, because we suffered the financial and the economic challenges, I think that led to investors probably staying away. And with that promise, as you have identified, or that pretty picture painted, and investors are sufficiently confident that it is something that they can put their monies on, then they would come. But it doesn't take away from the elements for which Barbados, we have a highly educated society. We have a number of things that investors normally identify as ripe for investment. But because of the I said it already, the economic challenges, yes.
Yeah, the other thing too is, last night, while watching some youngsters play chess, there were two of them just came home from class at UE. I was there, and the radio was on. Up come the news that the transport board now has 60 working buses. Just at the beginning of the school term, the Minister of Transport said that we have over 100 working buses, no, it don't to 60. So what the guys, the students at UE, turn around tell me, in the next couple of months, we will be down to 40. And therefore, we continue to lose territory. We don't have any at all. You see, Mr. Gibb, I do not know why politicians like to come and excite the people. They have to go face reality. The buses at the transport board, they use a new fleet. And the government do not have the money right now to buy this fleet. Why not take the transport board and privatize it and get rid of one that's for all?
Okay.
I am
the transport board.
Yeah, because, and as you know, Charles, I'm with you. On Sunday evening, there are people who leave work to go by RSC place to wait on the 3 o'clock Saturday church bus. If there's a 2 o'clock bus, but they will be got to get there at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they have to wait at 6 o'clock to get a Saturday church bus.
Wow.
You say, well?
And that's unfortunate.
And Minister, and this is the same Minister of Transport and Works who is just there, so parading all over the place that we have over 100 fleet buses working and there's no need for Barbados to worry about it. And more will be coming. Mm-hmm. I will tell you something before I go. I have established myself that this life on earth is a very hard one. And the day of the body, the soul is separating from the body, then my soul will be at peace. Have a nice day, Miss Lisa.
I would only end by telling you it depends on the life you live on earth that determines what happens after life. But we wouldn't engage on that today. This is Dr. Brass Tats.
Good morning, Gail.
Morning, sir.
I'm listening to the program with some rap attention. And let me hear something to say. Amid all the concern, you've got to be very careful in the solutions applied. Now, you can't take up a truckload of army personnel and go in a village, and even if you have some thugs or whatever, shoot them down. You can't do that.
Agreed.
You need to have solutions. I understand what you're trying to say. I understand everybody's about law and order. I am for law and order. You're for passion. But you can't still do that. You've got to get some other methodology and some other approach. When these things happen, the one-off case in Jamaica was unfortunate. But then if the resistance was so paramount, then you had no other choice. But after that, there was an inquiry, you know. And a whole set of legality came out of it, you know.
Yes, yes.
So I mean, I understand what you're trying to say. I understand you want a good, clean society, etc.
Who are trying to say, I hope you don't mean me, because I never suggested.
Not you. I mean generally. That was
okay. Because which is why I sought to engage a gentleman to get a grasp as to what the elements of the elements of the state of emergency spoke to. Because yes, you said it very clearly, very crisp.
Thanks for the compliment. Please. Now
yes.
I started something with you last week, and I want to be relentless in this call. As the grass is growing, the horse would be starved.
I heard that word last night in a board meeting. That
like my stinker like that. Listen.
I didn't say it was one of my fellow colleagues on the board. Interesting.
But the thing is, as we speak, you think the average fellow down the road or old lady understand insolvency and that kind of thing? They understand it's something. But they going into the intricacies of that and thing, they won't understand. But I know what they understand. If the NSRL has been removed and there was that promise to have a look at prices and anything that can spin off coming down to those persons, I am saying they readily would want to accept that. And that is the greatest thing out here that the society is expecting, to have we don't have price control, I'm clear on this, but if there's any modicum, any little thing that can be had, that will bring about some solution as regarding the cost of living. Let's get that expeditiously. Let's get that like last week. Let's get it, whatever it takes. We need to have that debt list as a priority. And that is across the board, that is across the aisle, and everybody is concerned about prices. Now, we understand the difficulty in the country. We understand the debt. We understand the monetary situation. We understand all that. But to boost the whole thing, and you can come to the person and say, look, I am saying that the retailers have got to come to some acceptance and bring prices in a more competitive way and whatever. Outside, you don't have the price controlling. I am saying that is the way to go right now as a matter of urgency for the society. And that is my analysis of the whole thing. I don't know what you have to say in respect to what I've just put there.
The only thing with respect to price controls is that given that we are members of the World Trade Organization, we've signed on to certain protocols which don't permit us to institute new price controls other than the ones that we have existing relative to ammunition and certain things. So falling under the Miscellaneous Controls Act, there are a number of items that Barbados can set certain controls on. So yes, those exist. But what I'm hearing you refer to more is more the monitoring to ensure... Right, so that's different.
Right.
That is not exactly price controls, but again, it falls within the same family to ensure that the cost does not increase sufficiently high that it puts pressure on the consumers. That's what I'm gathering you saying. And there has been a discussion on the part of the Director of Commerce and the Ministry of Commerce where they're saying they're going to do some more monitoring, but they're giving the retailers a little time to ensure that the old stock passes out and to see what's happening. Because every single month there are actual studies and there's a bit of research that is done to ensure what type of inflation rate, you know, those things that happen on the particular goods. And it's not limited only to food and beverage. It also happens with transportation, energy, you know, and they check to see where prices have moved upward, downward, and then they put out a little, I used to get that a lot over the years. We used to get it when I was at foreign trade and then when I was at the chamber to keep you abreast of how the changes have occurred, what type of price changes have taken place. So that happens, the monitoring happens, but of course there has to be a little bit more monitoring, especially in a time where persons are crying out and when things are, you know, the purchasing power is much smaller for a lot of our consumers.
I think I'll reiterate a slight bit, but you've got me crystal clear. I've emphasized that we don't have price control here. Remember, I emphasized that particularly because I want to stand clear of that, knowing that it is a fact. But all I'm calling about is the vigilance, as you rightfully put, to have it applied a bit more. And anything that can be done, I don't want to be condemnatory, say just not the talk and the promise. And I understand the grace period given for the Commerce Department, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But after that grace has been exhausted, now let something be had that the communities could start to sense a bit of relief in regard.
I agree with you. I made the call last week and I made it the week prior. It is incumbent upon our officials to ensure that our people are not being taken advantage of.
Right. And that's my call, and I'll be relentless again in this. You can rest assured.
Okay.
All the best to you, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Just to comment on the... Okay, this is down to brass tacks.